It's impressive to see this many people willing to get up early and talk robots, so I appreciate that. Okay, I better put on my show hat. But what will help meet expectations is this co-author list, all right? So I could spend 15 minutes just talking about who's on this project, but Alex is here, Galen Morgan is here, Cadi is here, Hussein is here. So we've got a really great group helping think about how can robotics help us make cotton more efficient? And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk through three things. Why robotics? Because it is kind of a crazy idea, but the more I look into it, it's not as crazy as it sounds. Give an update on some of the projects that we funded, Cotton Incorporated funded in 2019, and then talk about what else could we do beyond weeds and harvest. And so that will be how we conclude. That picture there is just Xavier. Fendt, that's one of their visions. That's a commercial company, a division of AGCO, of a bunch of little robots running around planting. I'm not sure that planting is the first thing I'd tackle, but they are thinking about it. And all roads do lead to robots. On the left of this diagram, we see the technologies that are enabling all this, everything from the work some of you have done on phenotyping. We've got UAVs that are already essentially autonomous little robots flying around. It's amazing what they can do. We've got a lot of amazing advances in machine vision and artificial intelligence. And then we have the need. We have the technology, now we have the need. Herbicide-resistant weeds, how are we going to deal with those? One of the things the weed scientists say is robotics. Labor shortages. Growers don't want to spend $1 million on a cotton picker, but if they don't have enough labor to run a module builder and to run a bull buggy, we see they'll be forced to spend $1 million on a cotton picker. And then we've already seen the success of AutoSteer. We've got tractors that are almost autonomous right now. So really, robotic farming is not that far away, and it's coming at us pretty fast. It's actually here in some ways. So weeds, definitely. I'll be working with Galen, and we're going to be tackling weeds and how that we can help cotton on that. But why am I talking about harvest? Well, one of the things I was talking with Mr. Hargett just a second ago, if you want to buy a cotton picker in the United States this year, it's going to be a CP690 or a CS690, all right? That's the only choice, and it's going to be close to $1 million. We need some competition. Another thing about harvest, if we can do this frequently, if we can go through the field, that first bowl opens, and it's 50 days before it ever gets harvested. If we can frequently harvest, we can pull some of those bulls out before the hurricane comes, before the rain falls. Some of the work that Galen's student has done has shown that one rainfall reduces color grade. So we can improve quality for sure, and in many cases we will improve yield. It can be scalable. If you want to add acres to your farm now and you want to harvest it yourself, you're probably doing it in 2,000-acre blocks. That doesn't really help optimize a farm when you have to do it in 2,000-acre blocks. And finally, these things will be multifunctional, all right? They won't just harvest cotton. They might take care of weeds. They might scout. They'll do more than one operation. So that will help the economics. So what have we done so far? This is an overview of all the projects we've got going on. Everything in red, there was a presentation or will be a presentation in this session. Hussein's right after me working with Alex. Glenn Raines and his student have already presented. Joe Maha's a poster on the platforms. We've got a geneticist working on this. The economic presentations were yesterday. We've got some really exciting economic models coming out of this that won't just help us figure out if we can afford to do robotic harvesting. I think it's going to help us decide, you spend $1 million on a picker, you want to put about 5,000 acres through it. But there's a point where that's not a good idea. So these models are going to help us really refine what's that optimal acreage to put through that machine, and it'll be very specific because it's going to have weather models. And then we have this frequent harvest study so we can better quantify the value of being able to harvest frequently for the economic model. So in 2019, a lot of good progress occurred. I was most excited by University of Georgia. You autonomously harvested a cotton boll, and they did it with machine vision. I'll show that later, driving a spider sprayer. That's really cool. He was disappointed he could only do one boll every 18 seconds, but I predict by the end of the year he'll be at one boll a second, so we'll see. We need to get to four bowls every 1 second, but we'll get there. Glenn has also done some weed libraries, the economic model, I said, is looking really good. The hand harvest, all that data is going to be compiled. So all this stuff is really moving forward. Just to show, and this is the thing where I got excited about this technology. Look at what they were able to do at the University of Georgia. What you see pictured there is less than $1,000 worth of stuff. All right? And with that $1,000 worth, they can do a 3D detection of a bull and control a robotic arm to go pick it. And how long did it take you to get that working? Less than 2 years? Yeah. Yeah, a year and a half. That blows me away that just a year and a half and he had, and it, like I said, I think it's going to get really accelerate. So I'm excited about that. So let's look beyond harvest. So this is part of the paper we're working on, is we've taken the cotton process from planting through harvest and just kind of spitballing how would automation or robotics make that more efficient? So I'm just going to go through a couple examples. Hopefully when this paper's done, it's going to be a very extensive list of examples, and we hope to put that into a peer-reviewed publication so robotic companies and robotic scientists can see what are things that they could help us out in cotton. So one, you know, some of you go to the Info Ag conference. I was at the Info Ag conference this year, and I was impressed. There were two sessions on robotics, so that and automation. And this picture to the right is one of the guys that was there. It's an automated soil sampler. All right, that's a Bobcat, but it runs autonomously. And if you can look, there's some bags in the middle of it, and so it samples bags, labels, records a GPS, and so now we've got a robot right now, today, that can go out and do grid sampling for the farm, all right? We think there's other, obviously weed control is going to be a big thing, pre-planting. Think about it if you had to, you're making a replant decision. Already, some of you have done studies that shows we can use a UAV to count cotton plants and make replant decisions. So what if we have a map of skips? Now we can send that little Fendt robot out there to fill in the skips. We don't have to replant the whole field. I see that coming too. I want to show one video just to have a little, you know, pizzazz, since, like I said, the expectations are high, right? So this is a company, Eco Robotics. It's a European company. They've got a newer version of this, but I love the vision for this. This is a little autonomous robot. It's micro-spraying weeds, using machine vision to identify the weeds, running on solar power, very lightweight, not incredibly expensive. So I think this is a neat, and this is out, I mean, so this is their prototype that's out there right now. I actually tried to get one into the U.S., and they're not ready to come to the U.S. yet. But this is just showing that this stuff is taking off, and it really is getting commercialized. Some other things within season. Now, this one on the left, top left, is my favorite. It's, you know, nuisance animal detection. So picture, like, Joe Maha has this little husky robot, and we put a robotic fox on top of that. So when the deer come in, it detects the deer and it goes barks at them or whatever, you know, honks a horn, or it could chase feral hogs. So that's something we could do right now, though. The question, you know, the economics of it, we need to figure out, but we could do that right now. Again, weed control scouting is an obvious one. Again, Joe's little machine down here, you can imagine that's 26 inches wide. Autonomous, it can fit through the field and collect data, collect images, tell us if there's problems. We can do that right now. The things we can do now is really exciting. And then we get to all the way to harvest and ginning. And so, again, we've talked about frequent harvest. You know, and again, some of these we got to figure out the economics, right? But I think these robots, what's amazing to me is the one that Husky I showed is like a $25,000 out-the-door robot. But it's a development platform, right? So, Glenn was able to buy a new one for $8,000. So these platforms are getting pretty cheap. And so we're talking about Bobby's going to be mapping where plastic is in the field with a UAV. The farmer doesn't have time to go deal with it, but if we had a robot that was scouting this field, that robot can go ahead and grab that plastic while it's running around as well, all right? So there's a lot there. One of the growers we've been talking to our board members about what do they see as opportunities for automation. Talk about staging modules. Again, Bobby's sitting in front, so I'm going to pick on him. He's working on, you know, looking at the time and motion studies of staging cotton modules in the field, you know, we could that will be a very easy thing to automate. And then if we could automate that on the gin yard, all right, so now you don't have to wonder if your employees hung over or not and lost your module. We'll have the robot, or not maybe not a robot, just an automated tractor, autonomous tractor that's going to be managing the modules on the gin yard. And we're already seeing automation come to the gins. This picture here is actually a gin in Oklahoma. You know, they've got, almost all the big gins now have gone to automatic strappers, plastic strappers. And then this gin actually has an automated bagger. So if you went 10 years ago to any gin and you went to the bale press, there'd be 4 to 6 people around that bale press putting on ties, putting on bags, collecting samples. This gin, one person just watching to make sure nothing messes up. So this automation is coming. And, you know, the final thing I think for warehouses, already Google, you know, Amazon is using robots in their warehouses. It won't be long before they end up in our cotton warehouses. So that's all my excitement. Obviously, there's going to be challenges. And that's Dr. Bob out with his challenging pigweeds. But, you know, these things are going to have to be reliable and durable. That's one of the concerns. I talked to growers. They don't want 100 little robots laying out there dead, right? They want them working. Obstacles in the field. They even brought up, you know, vandalism. I can imagine great target practice if you have a little robot running around. You know, how are we going to handle small fields, getting them distributed? Economics is ultimately going to decide. The technology is there. When is it going to become affordable enough? So that's everything. Maybe a minute for questions.
You got it all. 3 minutes.
All right. I had apparently a coffee this morning, so I'm ready to go. Any questions, comments? All right. I scared you enough already.
When the robots
right. Right.